Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church this beautiful morning. I'm John Gentry. I'm not Sabrina. And it's my pleasure to welcome you this morning. And if we have any visitors, you're certainly welcome, and we hope that you come back and see us. We also ask that everyone fill out the attendance pads on the end of the pew there and fill them out just for our records. Got several announcements this morning. First of all, the United Methodist Women's Annual Bank Sale is happening next Sunday. You better get there early, and I promise you I'll be the first one to be in line for Val Carr's brownies. And she knows that. And it's just a lot of goodies to have and a lot of fun. Don't want to miss it. Wonderful desserts made with secret ingredients of love. Asbury's annual Easter Festival will be on Sunday, April 20th, from 10 a.m. to noon. Come for a morning of fun. We have games, petting zoo, and pony rides. I'll also be there for that. We'll have an egg hunt with a visit from the Easter Bunny. Yeah. Be sure to bring your camera and a basket with you. The children will also be participating in the Palm Sunday services, processing with palm branches as we begin Holy Week observance. The children will need to meet Miss Laura outside the sanctuary about 15 minutes before the service. Make note of the Holy Week schedule on the back of your bulletins and other announcements, as well as special spring dates coming up for April and May. So now I invite you to meet and greet and pass the peace of Christ. One correction to announcement. I believe I said Sunday for the Easter Festival. That's Saturday, April the 20th at 10 a.m. Now let us stand for our call to worship. God desires everyone to be saved and to come in the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and humankind. Christ Jesus himself, human, gave himself as a human ransom for all. Please remain standing for our hymn of praise, Soldier of Christ Arise, on page 513. Standing for our affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried and raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to the pastor, then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn from the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God is pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, by the blood of the cross, reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for children's moments. Do we have any kiddos want to come down? Come on down. Meet Miss Laura.
Well, good morning. How are we? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you. So I have a question for you. If you decide to go into your playroom or your room and you have a box of toys and you throw it down, who's going to have to clean it up? You are. So let's say that you are so excited because it's the weekend and it's Friday and you're having a play date. And your friend comes over and y'all decide to just take your room or your playroom and just destroy it, play with it, have all kinds of fun in it, okay? And y'all lose track of time and it's time for her mom to come get her or him. And she's got to leave, or he's got to leave, and none of the mess was cleaned up in your room or in your playroom. And your mom says, you're going to have to clean that up. How does that make you feel? Do you grumble a little bit? Mm-hmm. Do you stomp your feet going, it's not fair? Yeah, I would probably do the same thing. But nowadays, a lot of times, moms will make sure that things get cleaned up, because we do that, don't we, in Kids Club. We make sure. We don't know whose mess it is, but we all clean up, because we're all good stewards. Well, you know, Jesus was the same way. There was times when Jesus was blamed for things that he didn't even do. You know? But he didn't grumble, did he? Did he get sad? Did he storm his feet and storm off from everybody? He didn't. He forgave those people. And so he's a good example of those times when we might have to do something that we don't necessarily want to do or was not a part of. And so we need to think about that. So the next time that we have to clean something up that's not ours or our friends and we're not sure who it is, let's remember about Jesus, because he didn't grumble like we do. He just did it, and he forgave, and he moved on. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for Jesus, the great example of what it means to just continue to do our part, whether it's our part or not, and not to grumble and get upset, but just to forgive those who may do something against us. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, let's keep those in our thoughts and prayers that are listed in your bulletin. Clifford Smith, Larry Brown, Theon James, Becky Flynn, Mary Ellen Murray, and the Wilkerson family in the death of their son and grandson, Aaron. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we humbly offer our praise and worship to you this morning. As it drifts into your very throne room, may it be sweet to your ears and warm your heart, knowing it comes from your loving children. Our days on the earth have and will bring many things, happiness, love, and joy. But we must acknowledge some days we will be filled with pain, sorrow, regret, and death. We know you are molding us more each day into the likeness of your Son. We also know we don't have to go through anything on our own, that you are constantly with us, will never leave us, and no matter where we go or what will happen, you are already there waiting on us. Help us in our finite minds to understand just a glimmer of your infinite presence and power, that you are everywhere in your creation. Lord, in the coming weeks, be especially today during this time, we pray for your closer relationship with you. Let us seek your face, and talk with you humbly and lovingly as a child talks with their father. Today, Lord, hear our prayers. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Let us pray. Our God, we have so much to be thankful for. You have blessed us in many great ways. Your word says we are the hands and feet of Christ. Therefore, let us carry the blessings you have given us and bless others who are in need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Take Time to Be Holy, on page 395.
This morning, I'm going to kind of break from what you might think is a traditional sermon during this time of year, but it's really not. Let me ask you a few questions. First, if you had the power to change anything, what would you change? Now, some of us might think just right off the bat, well, maybe I need a new home or a new car or a new Harley Davidson. Yes. If we ask the youth, they might say, well, I'd like to go back and change that last grade I took on my trig test because it was terrible. If we ask a trout fisherman like Vic Anderson, it might be to go back and have that prize-winning trout stay on the line long enough that you can net it instead of it spitting that hook out right at the last moment. Some of us may be a little more idealistic out of what we might change, like no more sickness, no more death, no more war. But before we begin to wish this change, we must first ask, who is this change for? Or who will get the credit for it? Prayer. Prayer is a lot like this. Prayer is not meant to change things for the better for us. Even though we pray for things to get better in our lives, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the primary purpose of prayer is transformation. And since God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I'll give you three hints who the one is that is going to be transformed by prayer. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 23, verses 34 through 38. And as I read these words, we're going to look at some very subtle things with reference to prayer that happens in this story. And I just pray that you're blessed as we read this story this morning. Beginning in verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." and they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." The word of God for the people of God. We don't have time this morning to cover all of the ways that prayer transforms us. I mean, that would take weeks, if not months, to cover all of the different ways. But I would like to take just a few moments this morning and to talk about four ways that prayer transforms. I'd like to talk about the why of prayer. I'd like to talk about the how of prayer. I'd like to talk about the responsibility of prayer, or the responsibility to pray. And then I would like to talk about the outcome of prayer. First, the why. Some of you are going to smile at this, and others are going to scratch their head. When we were young, to talk to somebody, we had to pick up the phone and call them. Now, for some of us, we had to listen as we picked up the phone and before we dialed the phone to see if somebody else was on the other end of the party line, right? Remember that? We wrote letters to each other. We made phone calls. But in my comic book, Dick Tracy had a watch on his wrist that he could make phone calls and he could see the person on the screen that he was talking to. The days of Dick Tracy have arrived. There's an app on our smartphones. Some of us have it, some of us don't, but you can dial up somebody anywhere in the world and you can see their face on that screen and talk to them. And even now they're developing watches that do the same thing, just in a smaller screen. But what are we hearing about all of this technology today that we have? Where is it driving us? The generation coming up, those who don't have a clue what a flip phone is, or maybe a bag phone, or maybe a rotary phone. They are losing the art of social contact, experts say. I'm telling you, to really get close to someone, you have to spend time with them in close, personal, one-on-one conversation, don't you? This is the why of prayer. Deuteronomy 4:7 asks this question: what other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? We must spend personal time with people to really get to know them. And it happens not in an instant, but it happens over time. God is no different. The more time we spend with Him, the better we get to know Him, because He reveals Himself to those who want to spend more time with Him, more and more. If we spoke to somebody only one time a year, do you think we have a hard time remembering what their voice sounds like? Sure we do. If we only spoke to God that often, when we're going through tough times and He's trying to guide us, how do we expect to hear and to recognize God's voice in that guidance? Now, that's kind of being harsh, and I know, or maybe stretching things a bit, but the fact remains, we need to spend time in conversation with God. And the more we do that, the more He will reveal Himself to us. He promises that in His Word. And the more He reveals Himself to us, the closer we will get to Him. Jesus said, in His own words, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." To get close to God, we must spend time with Him, pure and simple. We will get as close to Him when we do as sheep are to their shepherd. Next, the how in transformational prayer. Now, this sounds like a no-brainer, but I assure you it's not. The majority, to kind of look back on an instance, the majority of my basic training class in the Army was a bunch of guys, a bunch of males, and there were the other females, a small number. Now, when I was 5 years old, my dad took me to the armory, and he taught me how to shoot a pistol. And I grew up, as other guys did in the South, we grew up shooting rifles, quarrel hunting, things like that. So we just think, we know how to shoot a gun. Well, we thought the same thing when we were going through basic training. We know how to shoot that M16, just give it to us. We'll go. Well, the problem was we didn't listen to the instructions on how to shoot this new rifle. But the girls did, guarantee you. And girls, you know, some girls grow up shooting weapons, shooting rifles and stuff, but the majority didn't. But the girls in my basic training class, they listened to the instructions. When it came time for the guys to fire, we couldn't hit enough targets to qualify. But the girls did. The instructions given by the instructors had transformed those girls into sharpshooters. And the guys, yeah, we finally had to admit we couldn't hit anything. So we had to change our focus off of ourselves and our own abilities of what we thought we could do onto the instructors. You see, it was a shift of focus off of ourselves. The how in prayer is simple. We need to focus our prayers on God and make Him the recipient of our attention. Again, that sounds like a no-brainer. But if it is, why did Jesus give us instructions on how to pray? Matthew 6:5, He said, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." The how in transformational prayer is that focus. Are we praying to be heard by others? Is that our focus? Or as Jesus has said, put your focus on our Heavenly Father. Even if you have to go into a room, shut the door and close out all distractions. You know, some mornings I come up here and I sit in this sanctuary. And this is my prayer closet. And with all the lights off, that morning light is coming through that rose window. And it just casts a gentle glow on everything in here. It's real easy to shut everything out when you're the only one in this sanctuary. You feel kind of small. This is a big place if you're the only one in it. But it's so nice because it's easy, without any distractions, to focus prayer and talking with God one-on-one. if you don't have a place where you can easily shut out all the distractions, man, find one. Find one. I think we can all agree that our God is worth our undistracted, undivided attention when we talk with Him. Thirdly, there is transformation in prayer when you start to pray for other people. You know, Jesus said we shouldn't talk about the speck in somebody else's eye when we have a log in our own. There's a whole purpose behind that. But what would happen if we started praying for that speck in that other person's eye? All of a sudden, the pain of having a log in our eye kind of goes away. In his letter to the Christians in Rome, Paul asked them to pray for him. In the midst of all that they were going through, he asked them to refocus and to pray for him. He said, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe." It's so easy to get discouraged by the pressures and the battles in our daily lives, not in our monthly lives, but in our daily lives. It's much like the focus I talked about a few minutes ago. If we solely focus on our own struggles, that's all we're going to see, our own struggles. But if we pray for others and the struggles that they are going through, all of a sudden our struggles start just melting into the background and we lose focus on them. Just a real short story. When I worked at UAMS years ago, my position, I managed a budget of about $100 million a year. And I managed it meticulously, as you might guess. There were some days I'm looking at those huge spreadsheets and I could not get them to balance. And I thought, man, I just feel defeated and I'm frustrated. Nobody else has the problems that I have. So I would tell my assistant, I just need to take a walk and to go clear my head. It didn't take long for me to walk past a cancer patient pushing an IV pole down the hallway, or to walk past a waiting room and see a family grieving or in mourning because of the death of a loved one or the news that they just received from a doctor. I challenge you, if you think you got problems, walk through a hospital. It won't take long to figure out, just like I did, I don't have problems. My problems are so minuscule compared to the problems that other people are going through. Those, for me, were transformational walks. God wants us to pray for other people. That's the bottom line. We have a responsibility to do so. And what a responsibility it is, as well as a privilege to lift other people up. If we only prayed for ourselves, think about it this way, as a statistician might think of it. If we only pray for ourselves, we've only got one person lifting up our problems to God. But if we got 10 other people praying for us, now we have 10 people lifting our struggles up to God. Comparatively speaking, I'd much rather be one of the 10 praying for somebody else and helping their struggles go up than be that one person only praying for myself. We can and should pray for God to help us. Don't get me wrong, because we do. It's that personal, intimate relationship that we have with Him. But I assure you, it is transforming to pray for others before you pray for yourself. That's a form of sacrifice that we give to God. And God will honor our sacrifice and bless us in our struggles. Finally, the outcome of transformational prayer. Jude, a very short, rarely looked at book in the Bible, right before Revelation, the brother of Jesus, chapter 1, verse 20 says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life." What was Jude trying to tell the early Christians and tell us as well today with his words? When we pray in our private places, we strengthen our faith. And when we focus on God and nothing else during our prayer time, the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the essence and the character of God. And when that happens, we'll experience the grace and the love and abundance that can come from nowhere else or from no one else but Him. We will begin to be transformed in our spirits to be more like Jesus. Our spirits will start taking on the character of our shepherd. And they'll begin to look more like eternity spirits, if you will, the ones that we're going to have for all eternity. In this morning's scripture, we see two thieves hanging on either side of Jesus. One mocks him, while the other is transformed by Jesus from just Jesus' few words. He asked Jesus to remember him. He wanted to stay close to Jesus, even if it was in his memory. The man did not focus on his own troubles, even telling the other thief to be quiet. This man is innocent. He's done nothing. We're getting what we deserve. The man prayed for Jesus to remember him, and his prayers were answered. And I'm sure in those answered prayers came the perseverance to endure the agony of the cross. As a result, that man was given eternal life with Jesus. We too can be transformed by prayer when we focus on God. Get closer to God and recognize His voice. Pray for others and ask God to give us the heart to endure anything we may encounter in this life so that we may have eternal life with Him. Prayer is important. And a prayer-filled life is a transformed life. This coming week, as we begin to prepare for Holy Week, let's all be transformed through prayer into what God wants us to be: a child who knows their Father's voice. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is hymn number 511, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? I'd like to invite anyone that would like to come forward and just spend some time in prayer at the prayer well. You're welcome to do so. I'll be happy. I'd be honored. It's a privilege to pray with you. If you're here, you're visiting for the first time, or if you decided that this is where you want to put your life, this faith family, now's the time for you to come forward. Whatever you want to do, now's the time for you to talk with God and just experience His voice telling you and thanking you for being His child. Let's stand, please, and sing, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? It's so good to be with you this morning. It's just wonderful to open God's Word and to look and see what God has for us and to actually listen to His voice through His Word. It's there. If you just sit quietly and listen, He will talk with you. I just pray that God blesses you this week. Spend more time with Him in prayer, and then just sit and listen. Listen in the stillness. God tells us to be still and know that I am God. We know He is God, but we need to sit still sometimes in all of the chaos going on around us. You will be transformed. As we prepare for Holy Week, be transformed this week through prayer. Would you please bow and receive this blessing? Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that You give us an opportunity to be transformed more like Jesus every day. May we follow Your Word, follow Your wishes, and Lord, follow our Savior wherever He would have us to go. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.